This is Bob Sugarman.
And Sally Sugarman.
Welcome back to Theater Talk.
We're back at the Mack Hayden Theater in nearby Chatham, New York, where the exciting Candor and Ebb musical Cabaret runs until July 1st. We're recording this interview just before the opening night performance. Our guests today are Emily Krohn, who plays Sally Bowles, the unique young Englishwoman living in Berlin at the time Hitler was coming to power. Pat Moran, who plays the MC at the Cabaret, where Sally works as a singer, and Dakota Dutcher, who plays Cliff Bradshaw, Sally's friend and confidant. Welcome all.
Emily, we saw you play Mrs. Lovett here at Mack Hayden last summer. A wonderful performance at
Wendell
Berkey, Berkshire Critics Award. We look forward to seeing you tonight as Sally Bowles. Part is different from Mrs. Lovett. It can be imagined. How do you go about creating such different roles?
I would say that it's really getting the opportunity to play such different characters. So I thank John Saunders and the Mack Hayden for giving me the opportunity to play such a huge spectrum of roles and really getting to stretch myself. So I think in a way, every character that I get to play has the same, is still a version of myself in some way, even if it's stark and scary or funny or light. It's always sort of stems from my own understanding of this person. So in a way, that's how I get into it, is just through my understanding of whoever this character is. And then it sort of evolves from there.
Again, I want to say how wonderful it was to see a Mrs. Lovett without blonde pigtails. That was the first achievement before you said a word. Then the rest of it was just heaven.
Dakota, last summer you were a member of the ensemble at Mack Hayden and played important roles in Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, Anything Goes, Hello Dolly, and Spamalot. What is it like moving from the ensemble to a leading role, and how well do you think your experience in the ensemble helped you develop as a performer?
Well, to start actually with the second question first, I think that the amount of work that goes into being an ensemble member here and to really never stop moving and learning and growing really helped to where I currently am with the one role this summer as Cliff. Because the amount of work that goes into it is almost the same, and coming back here almost reinstills that into you, just that desire to strive and do more and to always be growing within the role. So I would say that the work from last summer that I got to do all of those featured roles throughout the summer really helped push me to be able to handle something as big and as deep as the role of Cliff.
Pat, you too have a history at Mack Hayden, where you played many important roles, including Billy Flynn in Chicago. It seems to us that Mack Hayden is a very, very special place. We love coming here. What has your experience been here?
It's been an awesome experience here. It's a very tight ship run here by John, and the company is always a really strong team. A very strong team of actors, and it's really fun to get to just do all these different projects with the same group of people, and then, you know, kind of in the similar fashion here as Dakota, coming back and doing one show is also a really cool experience, because you're kind of jumping into that team, and they've been so welcoming and so so awesome to work with.
We are so in awe of coming here show after show and realizing it was 11 days of rehearsal that created this totally finished product that you present, which is wonderful. How have rehearsals been going? You had your first preview this afternoon.
Yeah. Yes, we had, I guess technically it was a first preview. Was it opening? Who knows? Both of these are sort of openings in some way. It was good. It's amazing, like you said, how much gets done in such a short period of time, and also what strong choices are made on the side of production and sort of production concepts that I think are really woven in beautifully into this particular show. So I think it's a testament to focus and creativity and thinking outside the box in such a short period of time.
Are there any particularly surprising things that each of you have discovered about your roles as you rehearse them?
I discovered a lot of how I personally relate to Cliff. I think that, as Emily was saying earlier, theater really does hold a mirror up to yourself and to society. And I have discovered a lot of things that I might internalize in day to day, week to week, within myself that I kind of see in Cliff, and I was able to almost explore more, or also just realize and think I can be better about things that Cliff does that I find that I do in life as well. So I've found that there was a really strong connection with my character that I really appreciated being able to dive deeper into.
You want to answer that, Pat? Sure. Can you repeat the question again?
The question is, what surprising things have you discovered about your role as you rehearsed it?
Probably many different things. I've actually been in the show twice before, not playing this part. So I am very familiar with the show and sort of feel like the show is in my bones in a way. But getting to step into this role was illuminating in a lot of ways. I think that I found this character in this rehearsal process to be really... So someone who like goes back and forth between feeling very light and playful and experiencing a lot of joy, and then also someone who experiences a lot of pain and sort of difficulty. So I got to explore that a lot in this rehearsal process.
Pat?
Yeah, it's been fun to be stretched this way. Playing the MC is interesting. To kind of find the moments where he's commanding and find the moments where he is submissive as well. It's been interesting exploring that with John in rehearsal. And anybody could play this role, the MC. Anybody can, he's the MC, he's the master of ceremonies, he's the host, you know, it could be anyone. And it's tricky finding kind of where, what's unique about Pat's MC and making that personal.
Well, one of the things that we discover when we see a production of a play or a musical that we've seen before, it's always fresh. How does that happen?
I think the help of the audience really makes that happen, is they're different every time, and their reactions to what we're doing is kind of fuels us to keep going and telling the story.
I think that while, for me at least, there are a lot of things that are set in stone as you're going through like moments that you want to make sure you hit a certain way, and just the way you deliver something to someone because you want that to remain consistent, you don't want to confuse anyone on stage or like just throw anyone for a loop, there's still so much you can play with every day. And I do. I always try to search for at least one new moment with someone else on stage, or finding something else while I'm alone in a scene for a second and just having a new thought and always searching for like something new or something new to do or someone new to interact with for just a brief moment really helps keep things fresh for me.
Yeah, I would agree with all of that. And I think that, yes, to add on to what you just said, Dakota, there's a sort of a balance between remaining consistent, because I think consistency is really important in all.
Especially on a stage this size with so many
people
there.
Exactly. You can't sort of add new things in a way that's... You can add new beats and you can let new ideas drop in and be in the present moment as much as you can, as if what you're doing is happening for the first time. That's sort of the idea. And yet you are remaining as consistent as possible. So it's sort of like using two different parts of your brain at once.
The music of Candor and Ebb is unique. We love all Candor and Ebb shows. We know that, you know, we know a Candor and Ebb, you know, score when we hear it. What makes it unique? What is it about Candor and Ebb that makes them different, their music different? Or is that a crazy question?
No, it's a great question. I think it's a What comes to mind right away is just the marriage of lyrics and music in their work is so effective and so impactful, because I really do think that they know how to write for actors. They know how to write for for story, and their songs push the characters forward and push the story forward, even in the cabaret club numbers where they are sort of on one level just numbers being done in the cabaret. They are very much pushing the story forward and pushing the narrative forward, and you get to follow the arc of the numbers in the club and see the devolution of, you know, Germany. So it's pretty amazing how they structure it. I would say structure is incredible.
Anyone else?
Yeah, definitely to piggyback off of that, having done Chicago too, and kind of comparing and contrasting Chicago and cabaret with Kander and Ebb's music, there's definitely a lot of what would you say, political satire involved and commentary that really, you know, is really helps.
It's edgy.
Yeah,
it's very edgy.
Yeah. Yeah, it really helps drive the story forward.
What are the three of you, what lies ahead for you? I mean, I hate to ask beyond tonight because the show opens tonight. You've got the run ahead of you. But after that, then what are you planning on doing? If you know.
I will, in September, be going on the national tour of Spamalot, actually. I will be understudying the role of Bedivere, which, if you guys remember, was Gabe Bellevue. Yeah. And he, I'm really excited to kind of explore that role. And even though it's just an understudy, to also explore with the ensemble. But I am very excited to be going on that national tour starting in September.
That is a show that if it's half as much fun to perform as it is to watch, we adored it here. And I thought it was a particularly, we had seen The Road Company, but this production here I thought was just spectacular.
It was a lot of fun. And last year was the first time I had ever done the show and really gotten to know it. And it quickly became a show that I realized I could do for years without getting tired of, because it's just so much fun to be in as well as watch. So I'm very excited for it.
What lies ahead for you?
Let's see. Most imminently, this summer, I'm in a band in New York City, so I'll be performing with them. I have a show when I get back, the week after I get back. And then I am in post-production for a film that I actually directed. So working on that. And then hopefully being sort of having in town, having a little vacation at the end of the summer.
Okay. Pat?
I'm right with you on vacation. I'm totally taking a vacation right after this. Going to take a week and head to Colorado, visit some friends, and see some theater out there. So I'm looking forward to that.
So after the vacation?
After the vacation, back to New York, back to the grind, back to auditioning and hustling and, yeah.
What have been some of your favorite roles?
Bunch.
Definitely Billy Flynn was amazing, opportunity to play here. That was a blast. I'm so grateful for that opportunity. I also love the show She Loves Me. I just did that last summer. I played, Kodai, which was fun. It was fun to be the bad guy. I recently played Rolf in The Sound of Music, with John up in, Nantucket this past fall. That was a ball. That rhymed. Didn't mean to do that.
I would say that Cliff has definitely become a favorite role for me, just with how much I identify with him and how much fun he is to play on stage, because he's not any sort of typical leading man. There's a lot more underneath him that is fun to play with every night and to kind of see where it falls. Other roles that I've really loved, Emmett in Legally Blonde. That was a lot of fun on Norwegian Cruise Lines for a couple of months. And I also helped with a new musical that was brought over from Australia called Once We Lived Here a couple years back. And I got to play the character's name was Sean. He was the youngest brother of the family and was much more of the edgy kid who didn't really fit in with the rest of the family because he just wanted to break apart and be his own person. And it was definitely outside of my norm because I'm very much like wanting to please my family and always being around them and loving them. So it was a nice change and really pushed me out of my comfort zone, which I really loved.
Let's see. I would say up there is Mrs. Lovett. Up there is Sally Bowles. Up there is Little Red and Into the Woods. That was one of my favorite things I've ever gotten to do. Mary Poppins. I got to play Mary Poppins. I got to fly. There's a lot. I feel like there have been a lot of cool ones so far.
Well, to carry it further, what roles do you look forward to playing you haven't played yet?
Yes, let's see. Well, this is definitely one of them. I would love to play, at some point, I would love to play Dot in Sunday in the Park with George. I would love to play every female role in Into the Woods at some point, every single one. Yeah, I would like to be in Hair. I want to be in a production of Hair.
Okay, come on, Dakota, tell us.
I would really love to be in Book of Mormon. That's been a show that I've wanted to be in for a while, and I would play any of the Mormon boys. I think it would be an absolute blast. I really enjoy the character of Dr. Pottermore in Waitress. I think that he has a lot of, I like his characterization and the way that he kind of has an arc that you don't expect from a typical leading man as well. I tend to gravitate towards those kind of roles. And it's such beautiful music as well. Sarah Bareilles really knows how to write like more modern pop style music that still kind of fits within the realm of musicals. So I do enjoy that role, and I think it'd be a lot of fun to play. I know that later on in life I'm going to play a decent amount of dad roles and things like that, because that just tends to be what I gravitate to and love to sing. So I'm sure later on in life I'm going to be doing plenty of those. So whatever comes up in a couple of years, I'll hopefully be doing something original with that.
Okay, so I want to do Book of Mormon with Dakota. Hair with Emily. I'd also love to do some more plays too. In addition to musicals, I just love plays, and I'd love to do Red. I'd love to do The Importance of Being Earnest.
Yeah.
Okay. Em and I are going to do that one too. As far as musicals too, I'd love to do Sweeney Todd.
Which brings up the question, how different is it when you're in a straight show and in a musical?
Well, for this one specifically, there's not too much of a difference, because this is really a play with music, you know, kind of going back and forth from, Fraulein Schneider and Schultz and Cliff and Sally's world to the club, back and forth. It's really has the feeling of a play, and, usually with a good musical like this one, there's not too much of a difference other than extending the dialogue with your voice in song, you know, just having more elements to tell the story in dance and in music.
A career in theater, hate to bring it up, but it's filled with a lot of downtime between engagements. What do you do when not acting?
I work for a nonprofit in the city called DonorsChoose.org. It's like Kickstarter or GoFundMe, but specifically for teachers who work in low-income, high-poverty schools and classrooms. I've been working in their customer relations department for the last 2 years now, and I help manage part of the customer relations department for the U.S.
I do a plethora of things. I direct and produce a lot of like video content. So I do sort of like anything from sketch comedy to music video to short film content. So I'm in the film world a fair amount when I'm not doing I try to, when I'm not performing on in a theatrical piece, I try to be creatively involved in other ways. I also have my band. So I keep myself busy with those sort of different facets of my career, no matter what's going on.
Yeah, it's tough to continue to flex those creative muscles and also pay the bills at the same time sometimes. I like to take class in the city. I like to see a lot of shows, and I'm looking forward to hopefully taking some voiceover coachings and seeing if I could break into that field as well.
What got you first interested in becoming actors and musical performers?
In high school, freshman year, I auditioned for, they did Seussical that year, so I auditioned for that while I also ran for student government. And I decided that if I got student government, I would do that. And if I didn't, I would continue with the musical. I didn't get student government, so I kept going with the musical. And through the course of those rehearsals, kind of decided that I really loved it. And I just understood theater and direction and acting and all of that. And I really just felt a knack for it and wanted to continue. So I no longer ran for student council after that and kept pursuing theater. I wanted to see if that was something that I wanted to do, in addition to everything else with schoolwork. And I also was a competitive horseback rider with my family in high school as well. So balancing everything, and somehow through all of that, I just never lost my love for theater and wanted to continue pursuing it professionally. And so I did.
I can't remember the first moment that I fell in love with it, but it was definitely at a young age. I loved singing and sort of dancing around and performing when I from a very young age. But I distinctly remember in seventh grade, back to the one show I referenced the most, we were studying fairy tales, and so we watched the PBS video version of Into the Woods in class, in homeroom. And I remember just being completely in awe of it and like falling in love with Stephen Sondheim. Basically, Stephen Sondheim is why I have any interest in musical theater, truly. And then just sort of like just thinking it was the most masterful thing I had ever seen, and it was... it made me want to be a part of it.
Yeah, I think back to the first musical I did in high school was Annie. I was in a theater appreciation class, and I was just so enthusiastic and so, you know, enthralled by everything we were learning in class. And the teacher, who was also the director of the musical, had asked if somebody had dropped out of the show who was playing Wacky, the little puppet on the TV show. And so I jumped in, and I had like five lines, and I just was loving it. It's just, there was such a sense of community that I had never experienced before.
Yeah, it's the community that is really, we talked to a lot of community theaters, and they all talk about the sense of community because they're people who live together in the town together. And then we come to professional theater like this, and we find the same sense of community for a limited period of time, where people really are sharing something quite wonderful together that they truly love. What do you think is the best way to prepare for careers in theater? Like, where should you study, or how should you study, or should you study?
I honestly think that it's different for everyone. I knew that for me, I wanted to go to college and I wanted to get a degree in theater because I didn't, while the education that I got in high school was great, I wanted to continue it. I didn't feel like I was personally ready. But I have a lot of friends who didn't study theater at all. They studied completely different things in college, if they even went to college, who are doing theater professionally and who are great actors and actresses. And I absolutely love the fact that everyone kind of has their own story. There's nothing really that can prepare you for a life in theater other than yourself and your own strive and desire to do it and to better yourself and to present yourself as the best version of you that they can see when they're behind the table.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think there's sort of one route in terms of career path. I think that everyone does something different. And I guess my advice would be to anyone interested in being an actor is just to, keep following your own, impulses. Try not to get sort of swayed by what other people are doing or saying, and really sort of like listen to yourself, because there's a lot of what should I do. And I think that there's no right way, so you kind of just have to follow your instincts and follow your gut in terms of how you want to train, how you want to educate yourself, how you want to explore the medium.
Yeah, it's always good to study, but I think at the end of the day, you know, there's no really rhyme or reason to where you take your journey in the theater. I think what I would say to somebody would be, you know, if anything, it's just developing a thick skin and persisting and continuing to put yourself out there and to carve your own path.
Emily spoke about Stephen Sondheim as being someone who in theater sort of inspires you. I mean, is there somebody that you particularly look up to or think about as being inspirational, and some person you've encountered or some other, you know, composer, whatever it is? Because I was interested in what you had to say. Yes.
We're Sondheim fans.
We're very much Sondheim fans.
There's no like one composer or lyricist or writer within theater that I think really inspires me more than another, because I honestly think that so many of them are incredible in what they do, and each one builds these beautiful worlds that we get to put up on stage. But as for people who have inspired me in theater, I know that I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for like my high school drama teacher, who literally just kept pushing me and was just like, you can do better, you can be better, and I know that you can, and I know that you, like, I see that you want to. A professor that I was lucky to have for about a year, his name was Kevin Gray. He joined the faculty at the Hart School where I went to college, and unfortunately passed away during my senior year. But the lessons that he taught and the way that he taught was so hands-on. Not to discredit any of my other teachers, everyone was spectacular, but for whatever reason, Kevin really stuck with me, because he would get up and he would like talk to you and only you, and he made you feel like you were the only person in the room, and would make sure like every little thing was taken care of within a scene or a song or anything like that. And he would give so many great ideas, and it was beautiful to both watch him work, having been on Broadway and on tours and have worked professionally in the theater for so long, doing so many incredible roles, and for him to bring that in and like bring all of the lessons that he learned as well, and to almost prep us in ways that I didn't even think were possible. And I know that that was huge for me and definitely inspired me to continue through everything, to keep pushing and to never give up.
I also had a drama teacher in high school that I feel similarly about. I think that she's a big reason why I kept doing theater and did it professionally. I would say real quick, like inspired by definitely Kander and Ebb, Sondheim, Aarons and Flaherty. Sarah Rule is a female playwright. There's a lot of female playwrights that I love, not musical. There's one more thing I was going to say. What was it? I don't remember.
Yeah, I was just thinking while they were speaking of my mentor in college, Emily. She, you know, just the personal relationships that you make in the theater really shape where you want to take your career, where you believe, how much you can believe in yourself by somebody giving you that, you know, permission to just do it. It's nice.
one of the joys of doing what we do is we often ask actors these questions, is to encounter people with such passion and such commitment and such joy in their work, in spite of the difficulty. It's not an easy life, but it really is inspirational for us just listening to the passion that you people have. I mean, I'm generalizing. People who've sat in this room and at other theaters we go to, who have found a path that they truly believe in, are willing to take all kinds of guff to pursue, and it's wonderful to see.
Well, our guests, Emily Crone, Dakota Dutcher, and Paul Moran, are featured in the Mack Hayden production of Candor and Ebb's intriguing musical Cabaret that runs through July 1st, Thursdays through Sundays. There are matinees Friday, Saturday, and Sunday the first week. The next 2 weeks, the matinees are Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday. For tickets, call 518-392-9292. For more information about the Cabaret and the rest of the Mack Hayden season, check out mackhaydentheater.org. We want to thank you for visiting Theater Talk.